Good Resurrection Sunday morning, Central Baptist Church, family members, friends, and guests. We're so glad that you're joining us here to celebrate Easter Sunday on this April the 12th, 2020, in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. It is so great that God has allowed us to be able to have the opportunity through technology to continue to celebrate His resurrection. You know how privileged we really are. If you have your Bible this morning, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and turn over to the book of Luke, chapter 24, Luke's Gospel in chapter 24. As we think about this Holy Week and all that's been taking place, from the Maundy Thursday services that oftentimes people hold, that was when the actual communion took place, or the Last Supper, to the crucifixion that happened on Friday, as we head into Sunday morning, the resurrection, which we're going to speak on today. But as that was had to have been a turbulent week on our Lord and Savior, we just kind of think about all that took place. We think about all that happened from His triumphal entry into Jerusalem, all the way up to the time where He was put on trial, and those who were out there hollering, crucify him. We saw many players in this particular instance, and I want you to kind of think about it now. We're past Friday. We're past where the crucifixion had taken place, and we're about ready to celebrate the resurrection. But think about those same people that were cast in this particular situation, in this particular instance. Yeah, think about the priest, the priest who had made accusations toward Christ. Now, at this particular point, the one who had spoken with such authority was gone. You have to think that at this particular point in the week, the crucifixion was already over with. Things, they felt like it kind of settled in. But you also had the Pharisees. The Pharisees felt like they had gotten rid of the ones who had revealed their own sin. The Lord was one of those that had that convicting power around them. You also had the authorities. The authorities felt like it was over with because there were no more crowds gathered. It wasn't almost to a fever pitch of a riot that was taking place of those who wanted Christ crucified. But then think about it on the other side as well. Think about Peter. Peter, who had denied the Lord three times, the one who was before was boastful, who now at this particular point finds himself a very broken man. What about Joseph of Arimathea, the one who claimed the body of Jesus to bury him? He was kind of a cowardly person before, but all of a sudden he had the courage to go and ask the authorities for the body of Jesus that it might be buried. So now we come up to this particular point where we're going to pick up the passage in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, on resurrection morning and some of the things that took place. I want us to look at that today as we truly make a celebration. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, beginning with verse 1, says this. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' Verse 8, and they remembered his words. Then they returned to the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity in which we gather this morning, the opportunity to celebrate the resurrection. And Lord, although this virus has got us all pretty much isolated and not being able to come together. Father, we're still able to come together in prayer. We are the body of Christ, and Lord, the resurrection will not go without celebration. Lord, may we be mindful that it is because of the resurrection that we have joy and that we have victory and that we have the opportunity to celebrate, not just annually, but Lord, may we truly celebrate your resurrection every day of our lives and the deliverance of sin that you provide for each and every one of us. Lord, help us at this time as we come around your word to draw close to you. Lord, may we truly listen to what the Spirit has to say in our hearts today through your word. And I ask that you would use this, your messenger, to reach your people today as we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we begin to see the events that unfolded on that particular resurrection Sunday morning. There are many things that kind of crossed my mind about that. You know, we think about, you know, Mary as she was going to make her way to the tomb, and what a step of faith even that was, because she knew of some of the things that had happened and taken place after the crucifixion and after they had buried the body of Christ. It's ironic enough that those who were not his followers actually believed what Jesus said even more so than the ones that were his followers. Think about it for a moment. They asked that the tomb be guarded, whether it was because they were afraid that his disciples would come and steal his body away, or could it have been that they were afraid that the resurrection, as Jesus told it to be, was actually going to happen. I mean, why on earth would you seal a tomb? They put that rope around it. It had the, you know, the government seal on it that basically stated that anybody who would violate that particular perimeter or that particular seal would be put to death. So, you know what, when you do something like that, you're not necessarily afraid of a spiritual resurrection as much as you are a physical resurrection. So Mary knew these things. Yeah, she knew that as the crucifixion had taken place, the Sabbath was getting close. There hadn't been time to prepare the body. So what was going on was she was on her way there as the Sabbath was going to be finishing to do the job of an undertaker. The step of faith that she took was heading that way, knowing that this big rock had been there, knowing that it had the government seal on it, knowing that there had been guards placed there, and knowing that she didn't have any way to be able to remove the stone to access our Savior Jesus Christ. But that didn't stop her. She made her way on down to the tomb to do the work of an undertaker, to be there to embalm the body on the first day of the week, very early in the morning. That's where we get the sunrise services from. She was on her way there very, very early. I can imagine what it must have been like. I can imagine the mourning and the tears that were still in her eyes as she made her way there. The thing that she hadn't counted on was finding it to be just as Jesus said it would, just as he said he would arise 3 days later. Remember what I said a moment ago? I said there were his believers and followers who weren't necessarily looking for his resurrection that morning. Mary was going down to do the work of an undertaker. The disciples were back trying to figure out what was going to be the next step for them. They weren't sitting there anticipating and anxiously awaiting the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then as Mary got to the tomb, there were some interesting words that are said to her. Look with me, and if you've got your Bible there, in verse 4, it says, "And it happened that as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments," and they were perplexed about the fact that the stone had been rolled away. Verse 5, "Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember," get this, "remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men to be crucified and the third day rise again." The angels were essentially telling them, remember, Jesus has told you this. He's taught you this. He told you he was going to arise on the third day. Have you forgotten these things? Yet he is not here. He is risen. What a great thing to do. Today, as we celebrate the resurrection, we need to remember all the things that Jesus had accomplished for us, not only on Calvary's cross through the crucifixion, but more so through the resurrection. Do you realize that without the resurrection, Jesus wouldn't be any different than any other great philosopher or any other great teacher that there was? But what separates him from all the others, even from all the other religious leaders that you see that proclaim themselves across this world is that if you go to a cemetery and look for Jesus, you're not going to find him because he is risen, and he is risen indeed. We celebrate our risen Savior today. So we need to remember. We need to remember the power that he has. We need to remember what the resurrection brings with it. The resurrection puts an end to death and suffering. Yeah, as I thought about that, and I thought about that stone that the government officials put in place to cover the tomb, something to separate man from Jesus. I also thought about the temple veil as it was established for the temple rules, that the veil separated man from the most holy place, separating man from God. But at the crucifixion, when Jesus gave up the ghost, the temple veil was rent, giving man access to God Almighty through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. I think about as Mary went to the tomb and as she found the stone rolled away, the thing that would separate her from the Savior had been removed and taken out of the way. And folks, the same thing holds true for you and I today when we think about it. In the midst of even the crisis that we're going through with this pandemic, Jesus has already been there before us. He is watching over us. There is nothing that will separate us from the love of God. We might be separated from each other right now, but nothing will separate us from him. He will remove the barriers. He will be the one who will make clear the way. So today, we celebrate our risen Savior, who not only brought victory over sin and death, but also provides eternal life through our following of him. Yeah, it was interesting that what happened with Mary, there was sadness in her heart. Yeah, imagine the state of her heart as she was in the process of going down to the tomb, how her heart was broken, how she was discouraged, and how she was doubtful. Every step on the way to that tomb said that she was going to see the body of a dead Savior rather than a risen one. But when she came there and found that he was risen, imagine the pep in her step and the joy in her heart as she had the opportunity to go back and, as verse 9 tells us, to report the things that she had seen, to return to others. Look at verse 9 with me. It says, "And they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest." I'm sure there was a ton of excitement in Mary, the joy as she come running back saying, "He is not here. He is risen. He is risen indeed." So all of a sudden, there was no more planning for the future and going back to being a doctor or going back to a tent maker or going back to whatever we were doing before. Now the excitement should have flooded that room. We know it didn't do it exactly as it should have been. But the ladies who set out that morning to be undertakers came back as missionaries. They began to proclaim the word of the Lord, the things that they had seen, the joy that they had experienced over the risen Savior. Let me ask you this morning. Are we joyous over our risen Savior? I think sometimes what happens is we find ourselves in a rut in so many different ways. We find ourselves in a rut in the way we pray. We find ourselves in a rut in the way that we attend worship service and in the things that we do. I want to challenge you, as I believe that the Lord is challenging us during the time of this pandemic, to see things in a different light. I believe God truly is shaking our foundations. I believe that he wants to see us count on him again as we should, rather than methods and ideologies. I believe he wants us to get back to the straight scriptures. I believe he wants us to truly celebrate the resurrection again, to feel what Mary felt that day when she arrived at the tomb, to see and hear the words, "He is not here because he is risen, and he is truly risen indeed." Are we celebrating the resurrection in that way? Are we celebrating the resurrection every day in our lives and the victory over sin and the opportunity for eternal life provided through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Yes, the women came back with a report, and all these things, it says that they told to the rest, the excitement that was taking place, the excitement that was growing, and there was a need. People needed to hear that. The disciples needed to hear that. I think about Peter. I think about how brokenhearted he was in his backslidden condition at that point. Peter, who stood by and said, "Lord, though everybody else will forsake you, I never will." And Jesus told him, he said, "You'll deny me three times before the rooster would crow." And that's exactly what happened. Could you imagine the heartbreak that Peter had as he had turned his back on the Savior? I believe Peter didn't feel like there was a place for him at that particular point. It's ironic that when we talk about these particular passages around the time of the resurrection, the women were told, go back and tell his disciples and Peter, because Peter needed to know and understand that he was still part of God's great plan. Maybe today you're in that backslidden condition. You don't feel worthy. You feel like you're walking away from God in the same way that Peter did. This announcement is for you just as well as it was for Peter. You know, the disciples were told, and the women were told, not only go tell his disciples, but be sure you tell Peter as well. Maybe you're Peter in this story today. God's got great plans for you through his resurrection. Will you heed his word today? Think about John. Think about the brokenheartedness and the discouragement of the rest of the disciples. Think about the doubters like Thomas at that particular moment in his time that says, yeah, it's just hard for me to believe because this has never happened before. It's never happened since. But folks, we serve a risen Savior who is in the world today. And just as the hymn would say, I know that he is living, whatever men may say. You know, when we begin to think about these things, this is the God who raises the dead. You know, he called Lazarus forth out of the grave. Yeah, we know that through the account of his resurrection, that it says that graves were open, and there were many who got up and walked around. I serve a Savior who can make the dead live again, who doesn't worry about a pandemic that's taking place. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be cautious. I'm not saying that we shouldn't take every precaution that we can to stop the spread of this, but we should not be living in fear, because fear is the opposite of faith, and our faith is truly in a resurrected Savior that we celebrate this morning. So my prayer for each and every one of us is that we will truly have a celebration of our Lord and Savior within our hearts today as we gather around his word, and that we will truly reach out to him. I pray that today, as you listen to your heart, I ask you this question. What is it that the Lord has spoken to you today? You see, salvation by grace through faith is for those who will call upon his name. He provides it for each and every one. It's a once for one and all sacrifice. In just a few moments, we're going to have communion, and it's very interesting what the Lord was telling his disciples when they came in that upper room together. And it says when he got the cup, the thing that he said about the cup was, he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. He's saying that things would be done differently from now on. See, in the days prior to the crucifixion and resurrection, people would have to take an animal sacrifice, and they would have to go to the temple, and the priest would have to carry that sacrifice into the presence of the Lord for the atonements of their sin. And it wasn't a perfect sacrifice, so it had to be done over and over again. But Jesus was explaining to his disciples all along their ministry, as well as in that upper room, that his sacrifice, his shed blood, would truly cover all the sins, past, present, and future, because he was a perfect sacrifice. That was the new covenant that he was expressing to them. So the new covenant in his blood would simply be once for one and all. You don't have to go back and do it over and over and over again, because he was the perfect sacrifice for you and I. Yes, we do serve a risen Savior. I ask you this morning, have you put your trust in him? Has there been the time that you have confessed your sin in the presence of the Savior and said, Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior? Listen, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ with your life, I'm just simply going to ask you right now, if you would bow your head, if you would like to call on him as Savior of your life, you can do so right now. Just simply say, Lord Jesus, today I pray that you will forgive my sin. Come into my life and save my soul. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live that life that pleases you. As the Lord, I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer in your heart and you meant it, then I want to welcome you to the family of God. As we have always expressed, please contact us at Central Baptist Church. You can find us on the web. You can find us on Facebook. Please let us know that you accepted Christ. We would like to give you some material to help you as you begin your new walk with him. And in just a moment, one of the things that we're going to do is we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. You know, the Lord told us that as we enter into this time, he says that we show his death until he comes. It's a way for us to remember. That was what what Mary was told in the passage that we read today, was she was told to remember. Remember what it was that Jesus said to you, how he must be crucified and he would arise on the third day. In that upper room, when he shared communion with his disciples, the thing that Jesus said was, he said, you do these things in remembrance of me so that you'll show my crucifixion and my resurrection until I come. So what I want to ask you to do, we had let our folks know, our Central Baptist folks know by way of correspondence to be prepared to take communion together. If you do not have some communion elements there with you, then I want to encourage you to just hit pause on your video. Be sure to go get you some juice, a cracker, some element that you can use to celebrate the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior. Then when you come back, just hit the play again and pick it up from there. If you're here and you are ready, we do want to share communion together. Even though we're not being able to come physically together, we can still do this in our own homes and with our own family. And I believe that the Lord's going to honor it in a very, very special way. So the Lord tells us that as we gather around the table to take the Lord's Supper, he said that here's something that we should do. He said, but let a man examine himself. And I'm going to ask you just for a moment to pause your video, to spend a few moments in prayer. I want you to spend that time just seeking the Lord in his face as we come together around his table. Maybe apart, but with our own families, we are virtually together as the body of Christ. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer as we begin this time, and I'm asking you to take the time that you need, then come back with us as we continue with the Lord's Supper. May we pray together. Father God, help us as we gather around your table to truly understand what you have done for us. Lord, for it to be a celebration that we celebrate the resurrected Savior who provides eternal life through Jesus Christ, the one and only resurrected Savior. Lord, help us as we remember what you did on Calvary to remember that you have great plans that lie ahead of us. Bless each and every family that is gathered and represented here today. And Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in the words of our Lord over in the book of Corinthians, it says that as he gathered with his disciples, it says that he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And I'm going to ask the blessing upon our bread right now as you take your elements and get them ready to hand out if you haven't done so yet. But I'm going to ask the blessing upon the bread this morning. May we pray. Father, as we come to you right now, we thank you for your body, which was broken and given for us. Lord, we think about the word that tells us that you were wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and it's by your stripes that we are healed. So, Father, right now, I just pray that you will help us to understand Calvary's cross in an even greater way than we ever have. So, Lord, right now, bless this time, bless this bread, and Lord, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. It says that he took the bread after he blessed it. It says that he broke it. He passed it to his disciples. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me altogether. Amen. It also says that in a like fashion, also he took the cup when he supped. May we ask the blessing upon the cup of Christ. Our Father, right now as we come to you, we realize that your word tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Lord, I thank you for the fact that you were the perfect sacrifice. And Lord, that it isn't something that has to be done over and over and over again. Lord, your blood covers our sins, past, present, and even those future as we trust you. Lord, I thank you for the new covenant that you established through the crucifixion and resurrection. Lord, I'm thankful that when I call upon your name, you hear me through Jesus Christ, that we don't have to go to a priest to confess our sin, but Lord, we can come directly to you through that rent veil and through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, right now I pray that we will reflect upon the fact that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, and the fact that you shed your perfect blood for each and every one of us. Lord, bless us as we remember and as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The word tells us that in the like manner also he took the cup when he supped, saying, "This is the new covenant." We mentioned them a little while ago. "The new covenant in my blood. Drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me," altogether. Amen. The word tells us, "For as oft as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we do show his death until he comes." I pray that your resurrection Sunday morning is going to be a great one. I pray that we will be like Mary, that we will head to the world, that we will fulfill the Great Commission with joy in our heart for our risen Savior, that we're like her, that we can't wait to just run and tell everybody that we know about our risen Savior who is in the world today. Again, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today as we have gathered around not only the Lord's Word, but as we have gathered around the Lord's table. I want to encourage you to come back with us tomorrow. I'm going to give you some updates. Before I do that, I'm going to do one thing. I want to ask you that if you have an opportunity, we ask our guests, our members of Central Baptist Church, if you would, take the opportunity to hit pause, go over to our website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org. Up in the top right-hand corner, you will find a giving tab. That way we can continue to worship our Lord and Savior by way of giving the tithe and the offering. We ask our members to do that. If you're a guest and would like to participate, you are more than welcome to do so. Another way that your tithe can be collected is that you can mail it to the church at P.O. Box 533, Oak Ridge, North Carolina, 27310. So you can go online, you can mail it, or you can drop it by the church during our regular office hours, which are Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., with the exception of tomorrow. The office will be closed Easter Monday for us to have the opportunity to celebrate Easter Monday as well. So the office will only be open next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So thank you for blessing the church and maintaining your tithe and offering, that the Lord might be able to bless you as well. Now, tomorrow, I will be giving you the update of this morning's meeting with our leadership team. That goes out by way of video as well as in a written form. So again, if there's anything we can do to meet your needs as a church staff, we stand ready to do that. Know that we love you. Know that we miss you. Know that we anxiously await the day when we will be able to come back together, when we'll be able to give a few hugs and a few handshakes. Until then, if you need us, please be sure to let us know. We stand ready to serve you. And again, we're praying for you daily. May God bless you. And he is risen. He is truly risen indeed.